it's at, so I ain't buy nothing, you sell it.
Sell it.
So don't even bother with me, cause I got the Father with me. I'm passing, you
sell it.
Yes, I got a lot of passion to go out and testify about his goodness and his mercy. I can never let it die out of me. Flow living water, I can never let it dry, because I know my flesh is messing, it is never satisfied. Simple desires I cannot gratify, because I'm only human, will never work as an alibi. You better believe I'm ready, so when it's time to battle, I come with the Holy Ghost and make sure you hear my battle cry.
Told y'all, we won't stop till you know it. Holiness is what we stand for. If you don't like it, I'm not sorry. The Holy Ghost, F-I-R-E.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI. Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
How many of you know the blood still works? Praise his holy name, praise his holy name. If you'll get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Remembering the blood still works. Hallelujah. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you again for this wonderful time that you've afforded us to hear your word. Allow the Holy Spirit and his perfect teaching, preaching ministry to meet us where we are and then lift us to the place he'd have us to be, that our understanding might be fruitful, that we might practice principles for profit and give you praise and glory and honor. Now, Lord, we thank you for what you've chosen to say to us today. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to draw your attention to a 15-word text found in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, the present of God is eternal life. Now, we've heard that many times in vacation Bible school and Sunday school, and certainly in church if we've been around any length of time, if we've been witnessed to, or if we've learned to witness, we know that that is a part of the Roman road that we use to share salvation with others. You back up to the third chapter in the 23rd verse, and it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And one of the things Paul is dealing with the church at Rome and the believers at large is helping us to understand this all too misunderstood issue of sin and grace. He's dealing in the fifth chapter, and then he starts off with a question in the first verse of the sixth chapter. But in the fifth chapter, he's talking about the second most greatest power on earth, and it is sin. But in the midst of that, he's mentioning the number one greatest power on earth, and that is grace. And so he asks the question to be dealt with: wherever there is sin, wherever sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. And literally, he deals with this issue because he wants the believers to understand that we cannot be saints practicing sin, or saints with sinners' problems. We have got to learn to walk circumspect, walk worthy of our calling. We have got to learn that we represent the Most High God, and righteousness and holiness is a part of our new nature, new lifestyle. And so we can't be on the devil's side today and the Lord's side tomorrow. Once we make up our minds, it's that side and that's all. And so he's dealing with the church at Rome, who is known for much of their debauchery and all kinds of sinful nature and paganistic characteristics and traditions. And he's teaching the church how to differentiate the difference between religion and relationship with the Lord Jesus, and being saved by a person who gave his life that they might have life eternally. And so when he gets through dealing with all of that in the fifth chapter, he asks the question in verse 1, chapter 6. He says, what shall we say then? In other words, he's asking the question, what do you think of this doctrine? Tell me, what is your opinion of this doctrine? How have you received this doctrine? What is your understanding? And then he asks the question, just to make sure they've got a clear understanding. He says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because you've got some folk that wasn't in class on the day he taught that. And they're under the impression that they can sin with a license. That they could sin and simply say, Lord, I'm sorry, and all is well, without realizing they put the Lord Jesus back to an open shame when they continue to do the same things he saved them from, delivered them from, and now is supposed to be walking different from. And so he wants them to understand, though the grace that they've been saved for, the purpose of being able to be witnesses in this world and members of the world to come and the family of God, there's got to be a change. And so one of the things that I think is important for us to understand is that this gracious greatness of grace that he's dealing with here must be clear. He makes clear that God forbids that kind of thing. That you would act like you want to act, do like you want to do, and simply say, God forgive me, and it's done away with, and you're back together, and all is well. He says, God forbid. Listen, how are we, you and I, us, who are dead to sin, live any longer therein? In other words, when a person dies, when their spirit leaves the body, that body is no longer filled with activity. No animation is in that body. What it used to do, it does no more. And so whatever former commands it used to receive and obey, it no longer does that. And he's saying, if you have died to sin, which means Satan used to be your master, and when you heard his voice, no matter what you did, you stopped and you obeyed what he said do. But now that you've died to sin, Satan has lost his grip on you, and grace has put you in a whole new place. Yes, you do have a master, but it's a whole different one from the one you used to know. And this one loved you and gave his life for you so that you will understand he died that you might be free. And having known that, you're to live to him and to him only. You can't do what you used to do and then say you belong to him. It's an indictment against you. It's an indictment against the church. It's an indictment for what you stand for as a child of God. When the world is confused by us religionists who profess to be holier than thou, who know how to walk and talk while they know you're looking at them, but when they are not aware, conscious, or cognizant of you watching them, they live in a totally different manner, and they're confused because when they come to church, they see you up front. They see you in the choir. They see you on the deacon or deaconess board. They see you in the pulpit. They see you ushering. They see you shouting and holding up holy hands. But if only the people knew the hell you created outside these doors, they would not let you in membership. And no wonder folk cannot be drawn to Christ by the lifestyles that are conflicting. And yet when it talks about God forbid, it literally means God forbids. Now, what God has done is something that was necessary to do to keep us saved until he brought us home, because otherwise he would have had to save us and kill us. Now ain't no sense in us acting holier than thou, because you're going to act like since you've been saved, you ain't never sinned. You know, you done sinned since you've been at church. Some of the thoughts you done thought, some of the things you have said, some of the ways you've acted already at church, so some of us miss it. But listen at this. There is, listen, there is saving grace. Saving grace is when the grace of God saves you no matter what your sin is. And this is really the beginning of grace, the salvific grace. What you'll note is God, and we're talking about this powerful grace, this grace that is beyond anything sin has the power to produce, is simply talking about this, that no matter how much in terms of quantity or how bad in terms of quality your sin is, grace got you. Grace can save you. Grace can cover you. But listen, if grace covers you, it's only because you confessed. Listen to me well. If you cover your sins, then grace can't mess with you. Because what you need to recognize is that God knows and sees everything there is to know about you. He knows every sin, not only that you've done, but what you've contemplated doing. He knows the reins of your mind and which way they're pulling and tugging. He knows what you've been wrestling with and fighting hard not to do. He knows the thoughts in your heart, and it would blow some people's mind if they knew the thoughts you thought in the house of God about them. And so here he makes it clear that it's important for us to understand how this thing of grace handles no matter how hard or rough or tough your life has been. Grace, when you repent and come to the side of salvation, can cover you. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is, whether you've sinned one time or you've been a murderer, a rapist, an adulterer, and every other damnable sin you can think about, and you come to Christ and ask him for forgiveness and to save your soul, his grace can cover that. And it does not matter the quality or the quantity of your sin. His grace is greater than your sin. So the sinner need not say, oh, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how I've missed it. You don't know the Lord won't have nothing to do with me. No, the Lord won't have nothing to do with hypocrites. But if you confess your sin, well, look at John 1:9 says, listen, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you confess and don't try and hide your sins, God will forgive you and cleanse you at the same time. The Old Testament said, be sure your sin will find you out. You don't need to pretend and think that you can get away with sin and God doesn't know it. You might get all away from man, and man may not ever be able to see or to say or to record your sin. But when it comes to God, he's got a record book. And every deed you've done is in that book. And every unrepented sin is in that book. And so you need to know, my brothers and sisters, that you might get away with it with man, but you'll never get away with it with God. And so when Paul gets through dealing with this in this sixth chapter, he gets down to the last verse. He says, let me conclude this matter. Let me make it simple and plain. Let me make it so clear that a child can't. He says, for the wages of sin is death. I'm almost about to close now. Come on with me. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now listen at this. For the wages, the payment of sin. What do you mean the payment of sin? I'm sinning and I'm enjoying myself, having a good time. I done paid for my sin. I've done what I wanted to do, and I've done it like I wanted to do, man enough to do all I think I could do, all the rest of that. What you mean the payment of sin? See, what you don't realize is sin don't tell you it ain't free. Yeah. Somebody say it'll take you where you don't want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Sin don't tell you that in the beginning. Sin just lets you think it's a free ride. Come on, everybody's doing it. Come on, enjoy yourself. We're having a party. Everybody's dancing to the music. You just go to boogaloo. But you don't know the music is costing you something. It's costing you your witness, because somebody on the dance floor who might not be saved today, and you profess to be saved, will remember how you were out there on the dance floor. Somebody, listen, who may not know you the way that you think they know you, may not know all that you do, might think you're this way, one way, until they find out and discover some things about you. And then somebody says, oh, that's a good woman of God there. Oh, really? Well, let me tell you a thing or two about your woman of God there. Yeah, she's more woman than she is God. I can tell you that much. You know, and then they start telling all of the story, tearing down your witness. Listen, you represent God. The only Bible some people will ever read is your lifestyle. And you ask yourself, how costly is my sin? Is it costing somebody their salvation because of my walk? What is it costing me on top of what it cost Jesus? You see, because when I was not saved, Jesus paid it all for me, for everything that I would do. But now, listen to this. This is what most folk don't get. But when I willfully come back and act as if what he's done for me don't count, then listen to this. It don't count. Did you get what I just said? In other words, you can't pay it and he pay it too. If you're going to let the work be complete in itself, then it has to be what he does, or it has to be what you do, but it can't be both of you. And what people miss, Paul talks about those who were with him on the journey, and sadly, they've turned and walked no more with him. Jesus, he was talking about, again, eating his flesh, drinking his blood. They said, it's a hard sin. Who can hear? The Bible said they turned and walked no more with him. I'm trying to tell you, my brothers and sisters, there are some folk who start out on the journey who won't necessarily finish the journey. And it's because of choices they make. But know here today, the Bible says, for the wages, the payment of sin. So the next time you get ready to sin, and I'm not talking about the kind of sins that are not moral sins, because that's the reason why We ought to pray every day. That's the reason why we ought to tell the Lord when there are sins we don't even realize that we have committed. There are sins that we're not even cognizant of that we've broken according to the word of the Lord. But I'm talking about the sins that we have knowingly done. We've got to realize, my brothers and sisters, that the sooner we sin, the sooner it is we need to get ourselves together, fall on our knees, ask God for forgiveness, get up and turn away from that backwards way we have been walking, because God is not going to honor us while we dishonor his son. I wish I had a witness here today. And I'm not sure that you understand that God wants us as believers to recognize that we've got to get the message out to whosoever will. Your sin will find you out. You can hide from me and you can hide from the Lord. But you're not really hiding from the Lord as much as you're hiding from your consciousness of the Lord. The Bible says his eyes and his ears are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Have I got a witness today? I'm getting ready to leave you when I tell you that was a little old story about justice and mercy. One day justice and mercy were having a conversation. Justice said, I believe if a man falls down, he ought to stay there till he can get up again. But mercy said, no, I believe if a man falls down, it's because he no longer had strength to stand. Justice said, I believe if a man offends you, that you ought to have him put in jail. But then mercy said, no, if he offends you on the right cheek, I think you ought to turn the left cheek. Justice said, I believe in an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But mercy said, I believe you ought to do unto others as you will have them to do unto you. Well, justice and mercy kept on talking. And then justice said, well, I tell you what, mercy, you see that mountain way over yonder? Let's you and me race. And whoever makes it there first will declare the winner. However, to make it truly right, let's call Father Time to judge this race and let him set up all the regulations. And mercy said, that's good with me. And Father Time came and gave justice and mercy the rules to the race. And he said, get ready, get set, go. And justice and mercy took on out. They left Mount Sinai running toward Mount Calvary. Mercy got out in front of justice and was running headlong. Mercy kept on running and got a long way ahead. And lo and behold, you didn't see either one of them. But Father Time showed up on Mount Calvary and he looked down and he saw justice on his way, but he didn't see mercy nowhere. Justice kept on running, looking over his shoulder, but he didn't see mercy nowhere. Justice ran up to the top of the mountain and threw up his hands and said, I am the winner. I am the winner.